Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. Time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And we wanted to read this one scripture again. Psalms, what is it, Brett?
This is Psalms chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And it says, "Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in Yahweh."
Now, you had something you were pondering, so we want to give place. What were you thinking about, Brett?
Well, back in Luke 16, we were reading that last context. I believe that's 14 through 18.
Yes.
And I found it interesting how it says in verse, I believe it's 15 here, it says, "And he said to them, ye are they that justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, because what is exalted among men is an abomination before God." And so man exalts things, but what does God say about exalting? "He who humbles himself will be exalted. He who exalts himself will be humbled." So if you want to be exalted, you have to humble yourself first.
From the heart.
From the heart. And they were the things that they were exalting, says they were exalting these things among men, or what is exalted among men, it's an abomination to God. They weren't listening at all to what the scriptures would say.
Six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue. What are the rest of them? Do you know where that is?
Yeah.
Proverbs 6.
You got that, Brett?
Yeah, I can read that. There are six things. Okay, so Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. "There are six things which Yahweh hates, even seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked thoughts, feet that hasten to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers."
So, six things the Lord hates, and that seventh is an abomination, the one that spreads strife or causes division among brothers. Abominations are what make a person throw up. You know, it's one thing to hate food, but then when something is really rotten and you throw it up, that's literally what that word means, abomination. So did you get your whole point out there, Brett?
I'm collecting my thoughts on it, but it's interesting because God, back in Luke, he said, "What is exalted among men is an abomination before God." And so going back and looking at this list, it falls within that category. One who spreads strife among brothers.
Proud look.
Haughty eyes. Yeah. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked thoughts. Feet that hasten to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies, and again, one who spreads strife among brothers. So they were lifting up one of these, if not all of them.
Are you seeing more of this, those seven things in politics today?
Yeah.
And on TV today?
Absolutely.
Is it geared more to that, those six things and the seventh that God hates? Is that what we're seeing now on all around us in the news and TV and—
Oh, there's a lot of it. Absolutely. I mean, it's not even on just the news or on TV.
Did you know it says in the last days, because iniquity will abound, the love of most will wax cold. Lawlessness is going to abound, and the love of most, not many, that's a mistranslation. The love of many, or most, will wax cold. And I can see that. You can see this with attitude with people towards each other and so on.
Get hard.
They get hard towards each other. It happens in marriages. It happens with kids and their parents and parents and their kids and relatives and friends and so on. Unforgiveness. Where are we next? Luke 16?
Yeah, Luke 16, and we can go through 19, verse 19 through 31.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Now a certain man was rich and was clothed in purple and fine linen, making merry every day in splendor. And a certain poor man, Lazarus by name, was laid at the gate, or at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with what fell from the table of the rich man. Yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels unto the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that thou in thy life receivest thy good things, and Lazarus likewise the evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And with all this, between us and you, a great gulf is fixed, so that who would pass from hence unto you be not able, and that none may cross over thence unto us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to the house of my father, for I have five brethren, that he testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham saith, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead.
So here is that Abraham said to him, Child, just like God said to the older son, isn't it? There it is again. That's what the third time now that we've seen that. So Abraham is now with God, and it's his bosom where people go. This was a place that people went before Jesus died on the cross and set them free. You'll see later on in these scriptures what's going to happen. We're not going to say anything beyond this. I'm not going to jump ahead. But this, from the time of whenever this was set about, the place of safety back then, before Jesus died on the cross in the Old Testament time, was a place called Abraham's bosom. So there was Hades on the one side, and the other side was Abraham's bosom. And there was water in the place of comfort where Abraham was. And there was no water on the other side. There was flame and there was anguish. The rich man could actually see into there, because there's three different types of sight. And we'll get into that later on. I think it's in the book of John. We'll explain that. But this is actually, this Hades is awe without, like atheist is awe plus theos. It's without God, awe plus theos. Hades is awe plus ideo eyesight, godly eyesight. This is a place where men do not see God. He could see Abraham's bosom, but he couldn't see God. And so this is a place where God is not, he could see that over off in a distance, but that's he didn't have the eyesight to really see it because he was not there. This is a place where people cannot see God. He saw Abraham, but he could not see God. And he could theorize that God was there. He could physically see something. He had blepo vision, apparently, because he could see somehow or the other. He could see this. But in this place, Hades is the land. There is no there's no vision of God. It's where God is light, this would be dark. And this is a place of torment.
So isn't this interesting that Abraham, how he talked to him?
Yeah. Again.
He talked to someone that was in Hades, yeah, never to come back.
Yeah.
But he talked to him, and he reasoned this with him, and he was acting like God.
Exactly the same, isn't it?
I mean, I'm just cueing in on this. I'm like, wait a minute.
Isn't this interesting how we read that other with the older?
Right.
The dad.
The older son and the dad. And here Abraham is literally, he's with God. He's never going to be with God. And he's questioning him, and he is answering him without having
any edge.
No edge. He's just answering him.
Yeah.
He calls him child.
Yeah.
I can't fix this. This is what it is. You can't come over. They can't come over to you. These are the rules. He's in torment. He's begging, pleading for his family that's still alive, that they don't come here. And yet Abraham just answers him factually on how things are.
Here these people are, both the oldest son and this rich man. They never grew up. They're not called a man of God. They're still a child. They never grew up. They never changed their ways. And he still treats them. It's interesting. Yes, there's no edge, but he does not call him a son of God. He doesn't know him as a man.
So then the father, his oldest son, was still acting like a child.
Well, if kids get on drugs,
they stop growing.
The moment they're on drugs, age 12, and they're 40 years old, they still act like a 12-year-old. I've seen it myself. They act exactly like a 12-year-old does, like a teenager. Well, preteen even, some of them. They've never matured. It stops their maturity. Sin, any kind of sin, will stop your maturity. Anger will stop your maturity, because you'll always explode in anger. That's how you resolve everything instead of growing up and learning to forgive and comfort. You'll not turn into this Abraham figure there's no edge to him.
Well, this is the picture of God.
Yeah. But we're to grow up into Christ into all things. So here's a man that always stayed a baby, a child. And we are to be, our soul is to become like a child. So we, in other words, we're not to take over. We're to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and grow up into all things into Christ. We become more like Christ, more mature. Teleon is the word, more complete, till we become that, till Christ becomes complete in us. Teleon, or it comes to maturity, where he takes over the reins. We want him to be the pilot. And some people have a hard time handing them the stick. You know, they want to fly the airplane.
Oh, and this isn't a parable.
No, this is...
It's a story.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah.
It's a true story. For those that want to read this now, because I had a lady one time up at a Starbucks talking to me, and she says, oh, that's just a parable. I said, well, no, it's a story.
Yeah. This is...
Well, how does he know that? Well, whatever.
And he was in the land of the sightless. He lifted up his eyes in torments, and he saw Abraham afar off. And there's one place is a place of comfort, and the other is a place of torment.
And so people, when I was little, people, I knew you talk about heaven and hell, okay? Well, here's a picture. It doesn't say heaven. It says Abraham's bosom. That's the piece on the good side. And the other side, he says, is Hades. So that's the story we were taught as little children, if our parents didn't know all this. And And so this is a picture. It's a snapshot of it. It's not going into a lot of details, but it's a snapshot of it.
And you can't cross over. Nobody can cross
over. There's rules in here.
The tormentors cannot cross over to the Abraham's bosom side, and the person on Abraham's bosom side cannot cross over. They're protected, each in their own.
So people that are, it's so something really amazing. The people over on the side with Abraham want to come over there and help them.
They need water.
They want to come help them, and they can't. And these guys want to get out of there.
Well, you can see what this man's sin was. His sin was his tongue, because his tongue was on fire. Where is his concentration?
Right.
It's not on his foot.
It's
not on his hairdo.
I see what you mean. My tongue.
Mm. It's tormented. It's tormented because I had a bad tongue.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Each person will receive according to what they have done. Exactly what they've done. He just told us exactly what his problem was his mouth.
That's quite good. That just reminds me of something Ray said sometime in a teaching, something about each person would be this and this.
Yes. They're given over to what?
No, you just took that and applied it to that. I got it. Yeah, I've heard that before. I just didn't know that. That was good. Did you think that was good, Brett?
Oh, it was good.
I was... You're like, what?
I'm looking at that and I go, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes perfectly good sense.
I mean, there was a self-diagnosis right there. You go into the doctor, and let's say a car ran over your foot. You don't say, hey, this hand is, you know, it's been paining me lately. No, it's going to be your foot.
Yeah.
Out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
And he wants his tongue cool.
Yeah. And guess what? Who really should be the master of our tongue?
How'd you do that? I was doing the James thing, and there you go. No man can tame the tongue.
No, but the Holy Spirit, for with stammering lips and another tongue will God speak to his people. And have you ever wondered, when a person prays in tongues, if that's not going to be the new language in the thousand-year reign? The earth's going to be one language,
like
Mystery Babylon.
Speech?
What's that?
Like pure speech?
Pure speech. A language in which Jesus' name has never been taken in vain. Deva gave me a book on ethnology, you know, the study of languages, tongues, different tongues and languages. There's over 8,000, maybe heading to 9,000 that they've actually translated the Bible into. And you can see even the state of Arizona, there's little sections in there, tribes of different native tongues, like Apache or Navajo or the Gila Indians or the Mohawks in California, or on and on and on, the Chumash next to us in California. Big, big Indian tribe. 300,000 natives. A lot of them were slaughtered when the white men moved in there. It's kind of sad. I mean, when you really think about some of the things that have happened in the world. And all these different languages are going to become one overnight. Mystery Babylon is going to be destroyed. There will not be tongues. It'll be one language. You know, Mystery Babylon, the confusion of languages. And then we'll rule and reign with Christ. When he comes back on earth, we'll have one language. And I wonder if that's not going to be this pure language. I'm wondering. You ever thought about that?
No, I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
I see that God's always making a drawing a line on things like life and death.
A distinction.
And especially when in what we're talking about with Lazarus and the rich man. And there's a chasm that neither can cross over. I mean, that's a big line. I mean, that's a literal line.
Uncrossable line.
Uncrossable.
Once you are set in that place, it is uncrossable.
Yeah, exactly right.
A great gulf is fixed, or a chasm. It's something we don't know. It could be a magnetic barrier. It could be fire barrier. We don't know exactly what. It's something that's impenetrable.
Right. And so as you go along, it's interesting because everything from, you know, spirit, soul, and body, you know, we're going to get a new flesh. It's going to be different than what is here. We'll have a renewed mind, right? That's different than what we have nowadays, what man has.
By the renewing of your mind.
And we have a new heart.
Yeah.
And new heaven, new earth. He's always making these delineations between holy and unholy.
That heart was given. God gave us and created in me a clean heart. That is that bara word in Psalms 51, bara, which means to make brand new, that's never been used before. Like when you get a brand new car, nobody's ever driven it. Maybe this one just came right off the train and nobody's driven it yet. But even fresher than that, He created in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And that heart, really, once we do that and we're born up, that's not to be taken back. That belongs to God. And the tongue is a result of that, for out of the heart the mouth speaks. Isn't that really interesting? And this deals with this. Cool my tongue. But go ahead.
And the last thing I wanted to mention here was the fact that Jesus, he knows Lazarus's name. He even gives his name. The rich man, I'm sure he has a name, but it isn't mentioned here. So he knows those who are his. And in this case, he wanted to make sure he made mention of Lazarus and where Lazarus was.
Lazarus might have had a different name by this time.
Sure.
Likely he did.
Right.
You know, like Simon, Peter,
oh, yeah,
renamed by Jesus. We don't know if this is, it's interesting. We know it. We don't know his name. But even one step more, too, we really don't know if that's Lazarus' name, which I suspect each of our names are going to be what we are. It's going to be us. It'll be an identifier of what.
Given a new name.
Our character.
Only
yeah.
That, yes, that. And the rich man asked this question of Abraham, and he answered him squarely, and his response to him was what word? No. He said no.
Yeah.
He said no. He literally thought he was going to get that pulled off. And Abraham still didn't get upset. He just answered him again. Two questions.
How about chapter 17, verses 1 through 4? And we can digress on this. You know, this is interesting how sometimes a future scripture will bring back to remembrance.
A lot.
So we're free to talk about anything from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. We're just trying not to look ahead yet. Let it unfold. The unfolding of thy word gives light. This has been interesting, hasn't it, doing it this way?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I spoke one time into John a little bit. Sorry.
Well, I know I did too. But we were learning.
We're learning. As soon as you said that, I go, oh, whoops.
Yeah, we all did it.
And he said unto his disciples, it is impossible that stumblings should come, but woe to him through whom they come. Well, for him, if a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, rather that he should stumble one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sin, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him.
Why don't you also read verses 5 through 7? I think because and is in there, it's really continuing on from Lazarus and the rich man.
And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this sycamore tree, be rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you.
I think you could continue again.
But who of you, having a bondman plowing and keeping sheep, who will say unto him, when he has come in from the field, come straightway and sit down to meat, but will rather not say to him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank the bondman because he did the things commanded? So you also, when you shall have done all things commanded you, say, we are unprofitable bondmen. We have done what our duty to do.
That's what happens when you only do what you're commanded. We are to actually, you ever seen a good waitress really wait on tables? They do what their duty is, but they see something and they'll, maybe this other waitress, their patron that they're waiting on, but she just grabs it and helps them out, and she sees it and not only does her duty, but she's helping the other waiters and waitresses out too.
Right.
Goes cleaning, beyond.
Cleaning tables, I've seen that, where they don't have to worry about, they're allowed to worry about their section, but some of them will actually walk by a table next to their section and see some plates that can get removed, and they'll pull that stuff off, and that helps out the server in that section. And that's going beyond.
You know, working in restaurants is a really fun, if you see the teamwork in it, it becomes such a joy. It's just one of those fun jobs. It doesn't have to be a, and you can actually, the hotter it gets, you know, it's like a military campaign when it gets really busy. You know, you're working along and all of a sudden it's, your restaurant is full and you go from a double step, or what do they call it, quick time. And then you go to a charge, you know, from a quick time charge, take the city, you know, win the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And all this was in this same, and it came to pass on the way to Jerusalem. So now that's the end of all this. This all ties together. Now there was a certain rich man, and this is all, it seems like all part of this that we read for quite a ways. But what are some of the new things we just saw in this? Oh, about forgiving seven times a day? And then one time, one place he said that there's even more than that. I don't know if we've read that yet, so I don't want to bring that out.
Right. I don't either.
I better watch it.
We will.
Because it just doesn't end with seven times a day. There's more involved in this.
I'll be cool on that. I don't know where it is.
So anyway, even, can you imagine the person doing the same thing to you seven times a day and you got to forgive it?
Right.
But if you're a manager of a restaurant and you see a person, you don't fire them that day.
You drop a cup.
Yeah.
Fired. No. I'm sorry. Okay.
But even if they've got a bad habit, maybe they're going to have to work on it a week to get rid of that bad habit. So maybe seven times whatever. Maybe that whole week you're going to have to. That's
He set up a rule here. He says, take heed to yourselves. Watch yourself now. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him.
How many times have you seen that take heed to yourselves?
Take heed to yourselves.
Well, we're getting close to an end, so this is Gilbert.
This is Andy.
And this is Brett.
Thank you for joining us.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.